Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our Monday Norbertine doubleheader here on Catholic Answers Live. Father Hugh Barber just suggested that to me, that it's a doubleheader, and that's exactly what it is. This is the second game of our doubleheader. Father Hugh Barber is our chaplain here at Catholic Answers, so this hour is called The Chaplain Is In, and we address pastoral concerns, issues of the soul, issues of the family, issues of your prayer life. All of those questions are welcome. If you have apologetics questions and you can wait, then hold them for tomorrow when we have open forum, and we'll let those who would like questions about the care of souls to get their questions in today. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our number, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Father Barber is the former prior of St. Michael's Abbey, of the Norbertine Fathers, just north of us up in Orange County, California. He holds a license in patristics from the Pontifical Institute of the Augustinianum. Did I say it right?
Augustinianum, that's right.
Augustinianum in Rome.
It's Pontifical Institute of Patristic Studies called the Augustinianum.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is what always amazes me is how close our qualifications are. It's almost exactly the same. And a PhD in Thomistic Philosophy from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas, also called the Angelicum. And for anyone who thinks I'm serious, I'm just kidding. We don't have the same qualifications at all. Hi, Father.
Hey there.
Thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here, no doubt.
Yeah, well, I have to say the opening of the doubleheader with Father Sebastian Walls was, to continue the metaphor, a home run. So the pressure is on you.
Okay, well, I'll try not to apply situational ethics to my own case.
Good for you.
I will not.
888-318-7884 is our number. Again, we're taking questions of a pastoral nature this hour, questions that a chaplain might answer. And you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. You don't have to be Catholic to call. Like, you can make use of a Catholic chaplain even if you're not Catholic, right?
Absolutely. In fact, you're encouraged to.
Yeah, that's right.
Non-Catholics are encouraged to make use of Catholic chaplains.
Okay, good. What about Catholics? Are we encouraged to, or are we just tolerated?
Absolutely encouraged as well.
Yeah, all right.
Although you may be harder to deal with.
Indeed, we probably are. 888-31-TRUTH, the number. A lot of calls already, Father. As a matter of fact, every single line lit up at the moment. Shall we go to the phones?
Yes.
All right.
Right away.
All right. Ted in Portland, Oregon, listening on 88.3 KVBM. Virgin. Well, it should be BVM if it's Blessed Virgin Mary. So I think it's something like that. Ted, your question for Father.
Dyslexic Mariology.
Thank you for taking my call, Father, and hopefully you'll tolerate me. I am a traditional Catholic, Mass multiple times a week with my family. It seems like I've been bypassed. Like, my wife is good with God, but she kind of forgot about her earthly husband. In almost every issue, even from respect I can't even correct my children without, you know, something happening where it seems like she tries to take my parental power away. So I'm just looking for advice on, you know, because St. Joseph's got me this far. It's like as time keeps rolling on, I'm getting to a point where I really am starting to dislike my wife, and I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, Ted, you're Theodore. Is that your full name?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good. That means someone who's a gift of God. So we're going to pray that you be a gift of God for your wife and that she perceive that clearly in her mind and her heart. Well, first of all, are you able to speak with a priest who knows the two of you well? First of all, just who knows you and your situation and can observe your family?
We have multiple priests that we can go to, but I'm to the point where I'm feeling that it almost could be possibly a mental issue. And so I'm pretty sure she won't go talk. I can go talk to a priest, but I wouldn't you know, that's the reason I'm calling you.
Right, of course, right. Yeah, but I'm just thinking of a priest closer to you who actually knows her and knows you. But so I would do that if I were you. In any case, I would definitely talk to a priest whom you know and who might know her as well, whether she's willing to go with you or not. Secondly, of course, you're very wise to continue to call on St. Joseph and to ask for his intercession. Don't give up on that either, you know, because the results, we're talking about the long haul, the long term in life and not the short term. And so, as we know, with things that are really important in which there's a spiritual struggle, sometimes things get worse before they get better. Especially right before they're going to get better, they might get worse. So you have to always maintain your manly confidence, that is, that you're not going to give in to discouragement, that you have a role to play, and it's clearly indicated by the will of God, by the sacrament of matrimony. And so whatever your interactions are with your wife, you have to realize that always you should have reason for encouragement, because what you are doing as a husband and father is something that God wants you to do. Now, with your relation with her, I can't evaluate it because I haven't met her and I haven't seen your interactions. But I would really say that from your point of view, everything you can do that would make her feel loved or appreciated is, of course, of great value. That is, you need to give, and you probably do this already. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying, but just in case, you need to give much more affirmation, encouragement, and praise than anything that might be interpreted as criticism. And that's just the way modern people are. We can be as traditional as we want to be, but modern people don't take correction very well, and none of us do. It's in our bones because of the way we were raised. And so we need always that extra encouragement in the midst of our struggles. And let's see, those are two things that occur to me, the prayer to St. Joseph and the spirit of encouragement, both for yourself and for your wife. And of course, the first point I made, which is maybe to have recourse to some priest who knows you well or better than I might know, not being able to observe you. I don't know if that's all helpful.
Hello? I'll keep doing, because I haven't been nice to her. So I'll start with that again.
Yeah, she's got to feel
like again. We always fall back.
Right, because you're gonna have your own struggles with your own passions and feelings, feeling resentful. Why is she treating me like this? And you have to say, no, I'm going to give her all the good I can, and I'm going to bite my tongue and not say things and not bring up the past and not all that stuff that just makes things worse. Because the devil just wants to get in there and just make it miserable. And you can, by silence and calm and prayer and kindness towards her, you can maybe little by little overcome some past impressions and get her back on the right track.
Ted, thank you very, very much for the call. I hope that was indeed helpful to you. We go now to Patrice here in California, listening on 1000 AM. Patrice, your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Yes,
hello, Patrice.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm not Catholic. I was raised Anglican. I'm a Christian and love the Lord. And I have a friend that has gone through different religions, and her most latest one was Catholic. And she was married three times and then married a lady. They're on the East Coast. And I've been friends with her forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if I ever go to visit like friends do, not just one-on-one, but there would be a group of us, where if I should kind of keep my separateness about me in terms of going under her roof and spending the night, like friends do. Oh, come and stay over, you know, that kind of thing. Because of their lifestyle, I have a wee bit of a conviction there, and I wanted to hopefully get some clarification.
Well, you're free to spend the night at her house as her friend as long as no one else is misled by that example. So, like, if you were a mother with several children, you couldn't go and spend the night at her house with your kids and all that to give them the impression that everything was just okay. You might not mention it to them at all, but you might just make other arrangements. But if it's just you and you feel you can do her some good, and certainly a continuing friendship that's lasted over years is a very valuable thing, no matter what the moral state of the person you're dealing with is. And obviously she's had problems with relationships, with the multiple marriages. And so if you're a stable friend for all these years, by all means, you know, continue that. And certainly you can stay at her house. But you have to be also willing to show that you're not entirely in line with her way of life if the topic comes up. She may just assume that you have your opinions and may not want to bring it up. But I would say just your kindness to her keeps an openness there that that you're free to give, especially because you don't have to think about the example you're giving for people that might be easily misled.
How's that work for you, Patrice?
Very, very well. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
And my prayers, I know you intercede with saints and all, and just keep the prayers going. And what specific direction that she would, I don't know.
Well, you encourage her to return to the Catholic faith. You said that she practiced Catholic faith. You say you get a lot of peace out of the practice of Christianity, and you might consider being a Catholic yourself sometime. Maybe you tell her you'll do it together if she'll go along with you. But in any case, that's just a little aside. but the point is just encourage her to return to the practice of Catholic faith. Talk to her about the consolations of the practice of the Christian faith, and maybe you can help her in that way without directly hitting the issue there.
Patrice, thank you. Thank you very much for that call. You're welcome to call anytime. And you're always welcome in a Catholic church as well. I hope everybody feels that way. I don't know if they do, but you're always welcome. The doors are open. 888-3 The lines are also open. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. The chaplain is in today. Our chaplain is Father Hugh Barber, Norbertine priest and former prior of St. Michael's Abbey just north of us. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Chris Check here, president of Catholic Answers. It's October, the month of the Holy Rosary, and it's also the month Catholic Answers starts its winter sale at shop.catholic.com. We are offering great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. We have great new releases in church history, scripture, apologetics, spiritual formation, Bible prophecy, and lives of saints. In other words, something for everyone. What's more, our shop site has been completely redesigned. It's much easier to navigate and use. Indeed, you should visit shop.catholic.com just to see the new site. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you here with us this hour. The chaplain is in, Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain, ready to take your calls on issues having to do with family, with prayer, with anything having to do with the life of the soul. We welcome those calls at 888-318-7884. We are visited now by our president, Chris Check. How are you, Chris?
I'm well, Si. How are you?
Very, very well. I'm assuming you are here to talk about the Danube.
Actually, I was just hanging out in the control room listening to Father's sound counsel.
Yeah, I know. I told Father Sebastian Wolf was sending his best wishes to you before when he was on, and I was saying I just feel like we won the lottery.
Well, I think
chaplains.
Maybe
we won the chaplain lottery.
Some of our listeners won't know that Father Walsh was in fact trained by Father Hugh.
That's a good advertisement for you because he's a heck of a priest, that Father Walsh. Giving yourself a pat on the back.
Okay. So if Father Sebastian made any mistakes in the first hour, Father Hugh can correct them.
I'll tell you what. If one of these Norbertines make a mistake, it's so far above me, I'm not going to know they made a mistake. Like, well, how am I going to know?
8.9 on the Richter scale if that happens.
Really?
Si, you are correct. I'm here to mention our cruise, Catholic Answers cruise, next June. 8th to 15th on the Danube River. We have chartered the entire boat. The entire boat is Catholic Answers. It's the Ama Serena. And Ama, A-M-A, is the line. They are a cut well above Viking. They're beautiful ships. And the Ama Serena is only 2 years old. It's state of the art. The whole boat for the whole week is going to belong to Catholic Answers, setting sail from Budapest on the 8th, and now we're planning the after party.
Really?
The after cruise event in Prague, but more details coming.
I'm fascinated.
But what our listeners may not know, Father Hugh Barber is coming with us, and I am...
You're tying me to the masthead, is that it?
You're driving, Father.
Yeah, and then you can hear the sirens. Yeah. Was that the reference?
That's on the Rhine. That's on the Rhine.
Father Hugh. Is this Jason the Argonauts that we're doing right now?
No, that's Odysseus.
Oh, Odysseus, right. Odysseus, I'm sorry. Of course. Yeah.
Father Hugh is very familiar. He's an expert in this region. Of course, the St. Michael's Abbey traces its origins to Hungary. The founders of St. Michael's in California escaped under the wire, literally. Escaped the communists, founded the abbey up in Orange County there. So Father Hugh has many connections and vast familiarity. And as we have been talking, he and I, we're sketching out a program called Altar and Throne. And this is almost the perfect part of the world to see the development of the church and the growth of the Catholic monarchy. But Father Hugh can explain it better than I can.
I think he wants you to. That was a cue, Father.
Yes, in any case. Well, you have there in Central Europe, you have the opportunity on that Danube cruise to see and in the concrete the development of Christian civilization in Central Europe, which is, I won't say it's identical with Christian civilization, but it's certainly the heart of it, both between the Eastern and Western Roman Empire and the foundation of the monasteries, the missionaries that came from the north, the Celtic missionaries, the ones that came from the south, the Greek missionaries like Cyril Methodius, the establishment of the first Christian states with St. Stephen of Hungary and the different Bohemian kings who converted, and then the gradual development all the way through with their inner and outer challenges with Protestantism and Islam and into the modern period and the way in which the Habsburgs managed to manage the modern period by establishing this harmony, as it were, between the throne and the altar. All of that up to World War I, when things changed dramatically. And then what subsequently follows, the attempts to maintain what of Christian culture we can in Central Europe. It's very important for the rest of us, and it's where our roots are. So that's my summary.
Yeah, excellent.
And, of course, there's lots of other nice, fun stuff that happens in the meantime, because it is a cruise after all. But I'm just giving you the official version.
Well, one of the benefits, of course, Si, of this cruise is that we are getting to customize all of the shore excursions. Mm-hmm. And so some of these towns, of course, Budapest, Vienna, Bratislava, are known to our listeners. But smaller, lesser-known towns, still very significant in history. And, Father, you were telling me there is a monastery in one of these towns that is the oldest continually operating Benedictine monastery north of
the Alps? Yeah. Right. That's the monastery of St. Peter in Salzburg.
Right outside of Salzburg.
Right. And of course, the monastic foundations in that part of the world are really what, I mean, the Irish brought the faith to the Germans, actually. So if you're Irish, come along, you know, you can see the result of the hard work of many centuries ago.
So, my friends, so you can see what a great gift we have to have Father Hugh along with us. Also, Trent Horn will be joining us, and His Excellency Archbishop Alexander Sample of Portland, Oregon, one of the finest in the American Episcopacy, to be sure.
Indeed, yeah. Right. You can go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com to sign up. There are fewer than 24 cabins left. What is that? How many people total can go on that thing?
Only about 160 can fit on this boat. There's 80 cabins,
right?
Roughly 80 cabins, and I think we're down to 21. So this thing is selling out very quickly. Now, one more thing. The early bird technically has expired, but since I'm feeling as Thanksgiving is coming,
yeah,
we're going to extend the early bird deal, $100 off, put Thanksgiving in the code.
Okay.
When you register, when you go online, CatholicAnswersCruise.com, enter Thanksgiving in the promotion code box, and you can save $100 per person.
You can also call 800-707-1634. That's the Cruise Authority, 800-707-1634. Or, as Chris said, go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com, put in the word Thanksgiving, and you get $100 off and a turkey.
Amen.
No, not a turkey. Sorry.
No, a cookie. A Catholic Answers cookie.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chris. We return to your duties as chaplain father. We go now to Anne in Newton, Connecticut. You are on with Father Hugh Barber. Your question, Anne.
Hi.
Hi, Anne.
Hello, Anne.
My name is Anne. How are you? I'm from Newtown, Connecticut. I am a new Catholic. I was confirmed last Wednesday, and I've been
wonderful.
A Catholic for almost a year. So I was told by my priest catechist to listen and not to read the readings in Mass. And on Sunday, I had a question, and I've looked at this and reflected on it a number of times. It was the first reading from Sunday, and I'll just read the first little snippet of it, which is my question. And now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you do not listen, if you do not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and of your blessing I will make a curse. I heard that, and I started to think of all the implications of it. From someone having a child baptized, for instance, and finding out months later that their priest had not been faithful to his priestly vows. Would his blessing then be a curse? You know, all kinds of implications of that. And is that what that means, that the blessings that priest gives to others?
Sure. Curse.
You ask a question which is a very ancient one and was troubled a lot of people in the early days of the church and in other periods as well. And so it's wise of you to ask it. And it shows that you're reflecting on the readings as your priest wanted you to do. Or I would tell you, if he doesn't want you to read them during Mass, then read them before. But it's always good to read them, not only to hear them, because it helps to maintain our memory and insight. So, but the difference is very simple, simply that priests, other than the priesthood established by Christ, the priesthoods that existed before that, the natural priesthood of the Christian family, the priesthood that existed before the time of Moses and Aaron, before the time of the Torah, those are priesthoods that were not lasting, and they were functions of the individual by physical descent, by birth, by inheritance. And so that's the kind of priest that Malachi is speaking to, someone who's a priest, you might say, in his own flesh, in his own name. But the Christian priesthood is really, there's only one priest in the strict sense of the term, and that's Christ himself. Just like he said in that gospel, you only have one father, you only have one teacher, the Messiah. So there's really only one priest who is a priest by nature, and that's God's Son, who became a priest by taking our human nature upon him. And so the priests who share in that priesthood as ministers of the church, they bestow the gifts of Christ on the people. And since the sacraments are actions of Christ and the priest is only an instrument, his moral unworthiness or sins don't impede Christ giving the grace of the sacrament. So they're not acting in their own name, they're acting in the name of Christ. So their imperfections or sins are not a hindrance to the validity, we say, of the sacrament they administer. And that's our Lord's wisdom, because if we had to judge the sacraments based upon the moral perfection of the priest, well, no one would have any security about receiving any of the sacraments because people have so many different opinions about one priest or another. So it's because it's Christ who baptizes, Christ who offers himself under the appearances of bread and wine, that the functions of the priest, who is his instrument, are valid, even if he himself is a grave sinner.
Anne, how's that strike you?
Priest is in persona Christi.
Right, exactly.
Those sacraments are coming from Christ directly, regardless of the morality and priestly vows of the priest himself.
Right. I mean, on a secondary level, certainly he's not going to be as effective a priest with the souls of people if he's not living an upright life. But the sacraments, kind of like the bottom line of the church, those he can always administer, even if he's a sinner, not necessarily legally, but certainly Christ does not stop the effect of the sacrament and hurt the little baby who wants to be baptized or deprive the faithful of his body and blood because the priest is a sinner.
Anne, thank you very, very much for that call. It is, well, I was going to say it's the open forum, but it's not open forum. It's the chaplain is in today. And you are the chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, and you would take any question having to do with the inner life, faith life, life of families, all of those are welcome. Any question that is appropriate for a chaplain is appropriate for this hour. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The blood of Jesus shed on the cross healed all our wounds. A lot of people say, well, I can do what I want. I can commit any sin. Jesus saved me. You can't be presumptuous. All holy God cannot allow you to sin or give you the right to sin by dying for you. That doesn't make any sense.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The chaplain is in. Our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, is here to take your calls on issues of the heart, of the soul, of the spirit. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Monica in New Mexico, listening on 96.7 FM. Monica, your question for Father Barber.
Yes, hi. I recently got an annulment, and when the annulment came through, I quite keenly felt the freedom to either go back to my former spouse who was an abusive alcoholic or to move on and be okay that I could remarry. I needed spiritual guidance. I went to a local priest and I asked him if I should go back because at the time I felt that was the heavier cross, and I felt that that would, you know, bring me closer to God. He advised me to go ahead and go back. I was struggling with bipolar, and I was having a manic episode at the time, which after one session of meeting with this priest, he didn't know my history enough to really advise that. I was hospitalized for 7 days after I went back. Now I'm married, and my husband doesn't want me to go to the weekday masses that I used to go to with that same priest. So my question is twofold. One, do I advise the Archdiocese that this was something that happened? And two, what do I do about my husband? Because I love Jesus, and I don't see the priest as, you know, an individual. He's the one administering the sacrament to me. So that's what matters to me, and I don't want to miss out on the Eucharist.
Okay, well, I would say, first of all, regarding the priest, it sounds to me, I think you evaluate it correctly, namely that he didn't have full knowledge and he gave you advice that was not ultimately sound. From what you say, it doesn't sound like that was good advice at all. But I wouldn't call the Archdiocese about it. I mean, he gave you advice according to what he understood at the time, but it's not like he did anything deliberately wrong. So I wouldn't call his superiors. But on the other hand, as far as the Mass goes, is there not anywhere else where you could go to Mass? Do you have to go to that church?
Well, I have two children, and they need to be at school by 8, and the other Masses are from 7 a.m., whereas this Mass happens to be 9 a.m. 3 days a week, which mm-hmm. is very much in my schedule to be able to do.
Well, I would say that in the case you're in, you're not obliged to go to Mass every day, and of course you have a love for Jesus in the Eucharist, and we can always express that by making a spiritual communion. St. Thomas Aquinas says that when we make a spiritual communion, it can be as fruitful as a real sacramental communion. And I think maybe for your peace with your husband and his anxiety maybe about the situation, the advice you received, maybe just for the time being you would just lay off a little bit on that, or find out some way where your husband can take the kids to school and you can go to the earlier Mass or something like that. But I would be very careful to just put his mind at rest, because he's the one you're living with for the long term, and he represents Jesus to you also as your spouse, because marriage is a union between man and woman, and the husband is the image of Jesus there. That's what St. Paul tells us. And so just I would pay attention to his concerns and then just work with him about it in the future. But I would make it clear that you're open to what he asks for so that he can feel more confident and more peaceful about it. And our Lord will not in any way deprive you of any grace that you need or closeness to him if you do that out of love for your husband. And look for other ways maybe where you might be able to participate in the Eucharist at a different time, a different place, or continue to talk to him about it if he might perhaps change his mind.
Okay, Monica?
Thank you.
Yeah, God
that
bless you.
Perfect. Exactly. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Sure. God
Thank
bless.
You very much. I'm struck by one thing you said there, Father, that a spiritual communion can be as fruitful as a physical communion.
Yes. Yeah.
And is that gives me the idea, like a person who, say, is divorced and remarried can go to Mass, make a spiritual communion, and have a very...
Right. Pope Benedict pointed this out a number of times before he was Pope and after, that there are many ways to participate in Holy Mass. And, you know, in any case, when we receive the Blessed Sacrament into our bodies by a real communion, that's the best way, of course, to participate in the Eucharist if you're not a priest. But we still feed on Jesus by our faith and our love. Even when he's in us in the sacrament, we're still feeding on him by faith and love. We're not eating his flesh like we would eat a steak.
Yeah.
So we're feeding on him with our spiritual powers, and it's a spiritual, like our Lord said, that which is spirit, that which is flesh, that is, it's his true physical presence, but the way in which we access his presence is by faith and love. And so we can always do that, and when we do that, we're relating ourselves to the Blessed Sacrament and receiving the graces, not just graces in general, but graces of the sacrament itself. It's very important. It's like baptism of desire. There's a communion of desire, too.
I see.
And it's very important to mention that, because it shows people they have a real option, that they don't have to feel completely left out or with no spiritual recourse when they're not able to go to communion.
I feel like that should be talked about more.
It should be a lot more instead of telling people that they can just go to communion because they feel like it.
Yeah. Teresa in Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening on 96.7 FM as well. Lots of calls from New Mexico today. Teresa, your question for Father Barber.
Hello, thank you, Teresa. And God bless everyone.
Hello, yeah.
I have a question for you. It might seem rather strange. Last night, I had a dream. And I'm just wondering if it's possible to have a visitation from an angel in your dream. It was so clear. I mean, I saw the face, the eyes, and there was something she was telling me, and I understood it. I understood it, and I just went, oh, like that. Like, she was giving me some sort of information, but I don't remember what she said. And is that possible, or is it just a dream? Just something that I have from my subconscious
All right, Teresa.
First of all, just to the question, is it possible? Of course, there are examples of angels appearing in dreams in sacred scripture, to Jacob, to St. Joseph. And so it's certainly possible for an angel to appear in a dream. But I would say if it were an actual appearance of an angel in a dream, you would remember the message that you were given. It would have been a special intervention of God's providence in your life, and you would not have trouble remembering what the message was. So I would say it's probably just more a dream you had about an angel. And as we know, our dreams, they use our memory and our imagination, so they can feel very, very strong and real. And they may even be telling us something about our hopes and fears or whatever. But I would say it's probably not a real angel unless there was a real clear message that you can't ignore. So I would say it's probably more just a regular dream.
Okay, Teresa? Okay,
it was like she didn't speak to me. She just kind of like communicated it to me. Yeah. She wasn't speaking to me.
Well, I would pray to your guardian angel. You have one. And just ask always to be on the right path, always accepting God's truth and judging things rightly and accepting his help too, your guardian angel's help. Okay?
Thank you, Teresa. Thanks very much for that call. We go now to Brittany in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Brittany, your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Hi, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sure.
I have a question. My husband and I are both active practicing Catholics. His sister is baptized Lutheran, but not necessarily incorporated into any community. They don't go to church on Sundays. They have asked us to be godparents to their baby boy at his baptism in a couple of months. There, they found a Lutheran pastor, and he has no problem with us being Catholics. I think obvious theological differences there in the idea of what a godparent is. And my question is, in terms of, I don't know, canon law or just pastoral advice, what can we do? Is being a godparent an acceptable option, or a Christian witness, or what are our options here?
Well, I would say with the question of a non-Catholic baptism like a Lutheran one, it would depend upon from the Lutheran point of view, it would depend upon the norms of the particular Lutheran jurisdiction. For example, if he's obviously not a Missouri Synod or Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, because they would never allow a non-Lutheran to be a sponsor. They would be like we are in the Catholic Church. The godparents have to be Catholics, practicing Catholics. But other denominations don't have that requirement. And I would say this, that although even from the Catholic point of view, it's hard to imagine that you would be, strictly speaking, the godparent, I would give in to their request, because the point of a godparent is to raise up the child in the faith and to protect the child's faith into adulthood. And who's better positioned to do that than you, who are practicing your faith? You say the parents are not as practicing. But I would be frank with them and say, we'll be godparents, but you have to understand that we would always be encouraging him to embrace the Catholic faith, because our baptism for us means full unity with the church. So as long as you're willing to accept the fact that we would encourage him at the right age, of course, to embrace the Catholic faith, then we'd be happy to be godparents. But if they're not happy with that, then you could just say we're happy to be witnesses or whatnot. But I think if you do take on that responsibility, it's a real responsibility to lead him to the fullness of the faith. And if they're in a Lutheran denomination where there's no rule about it, well, you know, there you are. But that's the way I would put it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
That, God bless
that
you.
Answers my question.
Yeah, and another way is just to say they can call you godparents, and even if you're not really technically, it's okay that they call you that. But in any case, great.
Like the Godfather.
Well, no, he was actually a god. I mean, that's a very disedifying detail, but yes, he actually was a god.
I must have missed that detail.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Anonymous.
God bless you. Peace.
Thank you, Brittany. Thanks very much. Anonymous in Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. Your question for Father Hugh Barber. Anonymous?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, you have a question for Father Hugh Barber?
Yes, I'm not sure how to handle this situation. There's a nun at my church that's in charge of adult formation, and she has, on a number of occasions for the past several years, really, really caused me problems. And I haven't said anything to anyone. I mean, no one. This is the first I've even talked about it. And
well, that's great because you're talking to thousands of people, so that's a good way to start.
Just don't say her name.
One day, well, they don't know who I'm talking about.
I know, I'm just joking with you.
One day she even, to my face, she talked really nasty, sarcastic, and I didn't respond to her. And I don't know what to do about it because I feel that the pastor consults with her about people in ministry in the church, and I feel that she is giving me a bad word. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but that's how I feel in my heart. I'm not sure what to do about this situation.
I would say this, that you know, you're doing what you're doing in the adult education or whatever you're helping in the parish out of your love for Jesus and your love for souls. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And if you feel that she's critical of you or humiliates you or doesn't appreciate what you're doing, just entrust that to Jesus and just keep doing what you're doing. Because as long as she's not stopping you from doing the good you're doing or getting rid of you, you just move ahead and just entrust to Jesus all that. It usually harms us spiritually if we are anxious about what someone thinks of us and we try to fix it by talking about it or speaking to someone. And you've been very wise up to this point, not mentioning it to anyone. I think you just bring it before the Lord. And unless there's some real, you know, objective issue where, you know, but the point is that the good you do, others will recognize. And if she's unkind to you, others will see that, and you don't need to point it out to them. You just need to keep doing the good work you're doing. And I would say accepting that humiliation from her with prayer for her. Obviously, she's not completely checked out or she wouldn't treat you badly. So she needs your prayers and your patience. They may gain graces for her. But if you get involved in a discussion, you know, it's probably not going to give you peace of soul, and it certainly won't do it for her. So that's just my domestic advice, my homespun advice.
Okay, Anonymous.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
You've got to be a saint. Sorry.
You know what? That's a good little tagline. You got to be a saint. Sorry. I'm going to make that my tagline.
Well, it's
now.
Hard because, you know, you just want to establish justice in life, and so many things are unfair. You just have to accept them.
Right.
Sometimes,
right.
Not always.
It's like a modification of Patrick Coffin's tagline. Okay, thanks for listening. You got to be a saint. Sorry, we'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on, Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Whatever I have learned, writes Catholic Answers founder Carl Keating, I have learned from the masters of the craft. In his new book, Booked for Life, a bibliographic memoir of an accidental apologist, Carl gives future generations a roadmap of what it takes and what it means to become a Catholic apologist. In the way only Carl can, he recounts numerous real-life situations he has encountered in his long career that illustrate the apologetic lessons he's learned. Then, drawing on a lifetime of experience, Carl reveals the books that helped him learn to defend the Catholic faith. Order your copy of Booked for Life today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 14:12, when Jesus dined at the home of a leading Pharisee, he told him in the future to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Blessed will that host be because of such people's inability to pay him back. Our Lord was concerned that we show the same generosity to those in need that he has shown to us. For example, my grandparents lived on a farm near a railroad track. They weren't wealthy, but each Thanksgiving and Christmas they would set up an extra table in the garden for the hobos that would come for dinner. One year, a hobo who hadn't come for several years was surprised that my grandmother was still alive. He told her, "I thought you'd be in heaven by now." He instinctively knew that such generosity does not go unnoticed by the Lord. To whom have we shown such generosity lately? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. You got to be a saint. Sorry. 888-318-7884 is our
number.
I'll
never outlive that.
You know what's you're never going to live that down. No, that's your tagline from now on, Father. But it struck me what a beautiful witness that woman was that just called was giving. And sometimes we're reluctant to say what Christ said, which is take up your cross and follow.
Absolutely.
It's hard to say it to another person, though.
Right. This is hard to do oneself. So
right. Right. And I'm going to avoid you as a confessor now that I know you give advice like that. Like, take up your cross.
Oh, in a pinch, you'll give in.
Okay.
It's all about convenience.
In a pinch, you'll give in.
I'm here all week.
888-318-7884 is our number. We go now to Jim in El Paso, Texas, listening on 1150 AM. Jim, your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Yes. Thanks
Hello, Jim.
For taking my call. There's a woman I know, I've known her for a long time. She has cancer. She was told recently there's not a whole lot else they can do for her by the doctors. They gave her 16 months. Her daughter is seven. Her youngest daughter is seven or eight. And the little girl is having her own health issues. She was diagnosed with diabetes, and it's been very hard to control. She's got an immune deficient disorder, and her health's very fragile herself, and she's got worries about when something happens to me, what's going to happen to her, and it's just a bad situation. Then what I'm hearing is she's starting to just give up on everything. She's a good parent. She always has been. I want to talk to her about her situation, but also about her faith, because I don't know that they practice any formal faith, you know, and I don't really know where to start.
Well, you've started already just in the sense that you have a friendship with her and you show your concern, your love for her, for her daughter. So that's the best foundation there, but then you just have to jump right in. You pray beforehand, ask for the light of the Holy Spirit, pray the Blessed Mother and to their guardian angels, and then just begin a conversation about it, saying, you know, it must be really difficult to have this sickness and with the concern about your daughter as well, and I just want you to know I've been praying for you, and I would like to share with you that there is the love of God and His care and concern over their life and our ultimate destiny in the world to come that can really strengthen us in the midst of these trials and give them their full power and meaning. You know, you can just start talking to her about the spiritual things in the words that you are inspired to say, and then maybe ask if you could pray with her or give her something to read or to reflect upon. Sometimes when people are that sick, though, they don't have much attention to read anything. There's one really beautiful little pamphlet which is still available. You probably order it, find it online. It's called Confidence in God by Father Considine. And it's an old one, but it's a very good work, kind of generic. It's Catholic, but it doesn't shout Catholic. And so it wouldn't sound unfamiliar to people. But it very much gives the motivations for a confident prayer to God in the midst of life's difficulties. It's just called Confidence in God by Father Considine. And that was something you might leave with her. But I would just say, initiate a conversation after praying and just tell her that you want to share this aspect of your own life with her, and because you know that that God cares for her, and that He wants her also to have a relationship with Him, something like that. You may be surprised. There may be more going on than you realize.
Okay, Jim.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Sure. God bless. Peace.
Thank you, Jim. We go now to Freddie in Trenton, Ohio. Freddie, your question for Father Hugh Barber.
Yes.
Hi, Freddie.
Are you there?
Hello, Freddie.
We're
yes,
here.
Hello.
Yeah, okay. Real quick, and I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but I will just say, as a young man, I was fortunate enough to travel a lot. I've been to St. Peter's. I've been to Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I've seen the magnificence of the Catholic religion, and I have a healthy respect for it.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised Presbyterian, and now I'm a Methodist. And my question must be presented this way. We are all Christians,
mm-hmm.
whether we're Baptists, the Amish, we are all Christians. We believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ.
So well,
but yet we seem to be opposed to each other.
Well,
nobody is working together. The Muslims are taking over our world because they're working together.
Well, I don't know. They're not exactly working together.
Well, the Muslims are divided up as much as Christians are in different competing sects. That's why you have all the disharmony in the Muslim world. So let's not worry about the Muslims right now, because they're divided up dramatically. But I would say this, that yes, it's a good question. Why can't all the Christian religions just get along? Well, our Lord founded one church. He founded it, and He gave it all the means of salvation and His saving teaching. And then if you want to ask, well, why can't the Christian religions get together? Well, you have to ask the founders of Calvinism, Presbyterianism. You have to ask the Anglicans. You have to ask the Lutherans. You have to ask those who fell away from the unity of the Catholic Church, why did you leave the unity of the Church? Because it's not something that the Catholic Church created, these divisions. They were created by those who broke away from her. And so the Catholic Church is just staying there, as she always has, remaining in the fullness of faith and practice that Jesus gave us. And the other groups have differences and they break off. And so what are we to say? Certainly we're not to say, well, we'll just become one of you. We just say we remain what we are, and everyone is always welcome to return to the full unity of the Catholic faith. That being said, Jesus works very powerfully in all the different Christian groups, because, as you rightly point out, because of baptism especially and our faith in the divinity of the Lord and His, the power of His cross, there's still a great deal of truth and a great deal of grace that flows, but that's all because of what Jesus gave to the church originally. And we should emphasize those things and recognize that we have all that in common. But as far as getting back together again, the doors are wide open.
Thanks, Freddie, for that call. You wonder, the grass is always greener, I guess. I'm wondering if, like, on Muslim radio shows, if they're saying those Christians are all working together. It's just you just don't see other people's divisions. You see your own, maybe.
Perhaps, yeah.
Tom in Dallas, Texas, listening on 910 AM EWTN radio. You are on with Father Hugh Barber. Your question.
Hi, Father Hugh.
Hi, Tom.
I appreciate you guys taking my call. Hope you're having a good night.
Sorry that I did this, but we don't have very much time. I apologize. I should have said that right up front. Can you just ask your question real quick?
No worries. Yeah, I'll be real to the point. My brother's gay. He got, quote, married. We're going to all get together at Thanksgiving. He's planning on some kind of celebration that I'm not in favor of. How do I handle a situation like that?
Okay, you mean there's some kind of celebration or ceremony that's going to take place at the Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, probably. You know, there'll be a toast. There'll be some people saying some things. I don't know. I'm not in favor of it at all.
No, I would say. And is it just you going to Thanksgiving dinner, or who else is going with you?
No, there's about 25 of us. I've got a big family. There's 8 brothers and sisters, and you know, we're married. And our kids will be there. And
oh, dear. Well, I'd like to give you a complete answer to that question, but I would say this, that it's a question of mutual respect, and really and truly, a Thanksgiving dinner should not be the occasion when people feel excluded because they can't agree with your brother's choice. So I would say try to finesse it so that you don't have to be involved in all of that while not rejecting. I mean, if he comes with his partner and all that, that you can, that's fine. But making you celebrate something you don't recognize is a difficult thing to ask of you. So I wish I could give you an immediate solution, but I'd say, you know, just look at it carefully and do your best. But I'll pray for you.
Thank you. Can we have your blessing, Father?
Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maniat semper.
Amen. You got to be a saint. Sorry. We'll see you tomorrow for Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. Thanks, Father.
Sure.